On this day, October 12, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1950, in Parliament, Labour attacked the Menzies government, elected 10 months earlier, for abandoning Labour's plan under Ben Chifley to set up 6 government-operated television stations in Australia. Menzies planned to start just one in Sydney. Mr. Corwell, Labour, said that private companies were still 2 years away from providing Australians with the benefits of television. Those, he said, might include telecasts of Parliament. The postmaster, Mr. Anthony, said that throughout the world caution was being exercised in installing television, and that the government was moving slowly because television meant great social change. It could, for example, draw people from the country to the city. On this day in 1960, Albert Hall was still resonating from an appearance in the ABC International Celebrity Concert by acclaimed Czech violinist Ladislav Jašek. Most of the performance had been pieces from Czechoslovakia, as it then was, and neighbouring Slavonic countries, Borkovic, Prokofiev, Smetana, Rimsky-Korsakov. Jašek would come to have deep connections with Australia. In his homeland, he was a concert violinist who often appeared with the Czech Philharmonic Orchestra, but the country's communist leadership forced him to report on conversations with friends and acquaintances by threatening his career and his family. He sought asylum in Brisbane and was granted Australian citizenship in 1966. Also in 1960, the Sterling Primo Quartet played its weekly gig at the Starcrest Lounge at the Hotel Civic. Jazz for dancing, jazz for listening. On this day, some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region is produced at ArtSound FM. If you'd like to listen back to earlier episodes, they're online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab. On this day, October 13, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1960, in Parliament, Senator Dorothy Tangney, Labour, Western Australia, reminded the government that it had promised to introduce television to the ACT by July of the previous year, 1959. The government promised all in good time. That good time arrived in 1962, when on May 23 at 5:45 p.m, the first live test transmission took place from CTC 7. The Safety Bureau officer, Senator Constable T.A.M. Cooper, presented a 13-minute public service announcement on the proper use of fireworks. Then CTC 7 commenced transmission at 6 p.m. with program promotions and a documentary on the construction of the CTC studios. And at 7 p.m. the station's official opening took place with the Postmaster General Davidson and station officials. Also in 1960, 2 Canberra University students were in court charged with throwing brown paper bags of flour at the Queen's uniform, which is to say, the uniform of a police officer. The charges stem from a rag that some 50 students had staged on September 30 to mark the merger of Canberra University College with the Australian National University. The students had marched down Alinga Street to Greema Place, carrying a black coffin marked CUC for Canberra University College. The flower throwing had been directed not at the police, but at a student who conducted a mock auction of 2 female students dressed as, quote, scantily clad slave girls. On this day, some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region is produced at ArtSound FM. If you'd like to listen back to earlier episodes, they're online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab. On this day, October 14, here's some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1970, a resolution came of a copyright royalties dispute that had resulted in Australian commercial radio stations being barred for 6 months from playing British and Australian-made recordings. The dispute began in April 1970, when the Phonographic Performance Company of Australia, representing record manufacturers, told the Federation of Australian Commercial Broadcasters, representing radio stations, that it would be introducing a system of cash royalties that would replace a 1956 agreement under which stations broadcast records free of charge, and in return the manufacturers receive 15 minutes of free broadcasting time each week to promote particular records. The radio stations objected to being asked to pay cash royalties, saying that they were already promoting records by playing them. The manufacturers won. Also on this day in 1970, the Postmaster General, Mr. Hume, gave an update on the approaching introduction of colour television to Australia. He was commenting on the Australian Broadcasting Control Board's 1969-70 annual report. Amidst some fretting over technical aspects of the introduction was even greater concern over TV content. During 1969-70, the chief film censor had made cuts in 651 of the 8,022 programmes it reviewed. It had rejected 16 and classified 29 as unsuitable for televising under the terms of the television programme standards. It had restricted or prohibited several advertisements, including three that unduly emphasised suggestiveness or sex. The board directed that unnecessarily violent types of action should be eliminated from certain wrestling and roller skating programmes. It had judged some programmes unsuitable for television until late at night due to violence, episodes of Homicide, Division 4, and the Australian-produced The Long Arm. Also concerning to the board were programmes about astrology and fortune-telling. The board reported that two programmes, which included personal advice to individual viewers, were terminated because they contravened standards relating to encouraging superstitious or pseudo-scientific beliefs. That's some of what happened on this day in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day, October 15, this is some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1970, while under construction, the West Gate Bridge spanning the Yarra River in Melbourne collapsed, killing 35 construction workers in Australia's worst industrial accident. In Parliament, legislation was introduced to make the Canberra College of Advanced Education, now the University of Canberra, the country's first CAE to award degrees in addition to diplomas and certificates. Also in 1970, the Australian Council for the Arts awarded a grant to Canberra's Prompt Theatre to develop a radical theatre work, Aldrus Budavicius's The Birthday Present. At a time when executions were still legal in the ACT and two of the states, The Birthday Present dramatised a murder, trial and execution, with the hanging witnessed by a teenage boy who had been allowed to be present at the event as a birthday present. The script was based on tapes and reports compiled by a Dr. James Scott Findlay that he had made after conversations with a hitchhiker who claimed to have been that teenager in reality. Among the actors was Ralph Wilson, principal of Canberra High School, a vaunted figure in Canberra theatre, after whom the theatre at Gorman House Arts Centre is now named. Budavicius had produced several plays with the Canberra Community Theatre. He presented The Birthday Present on four nights in February 1971 at Wesley Hall in Griffith. Canberra Times reviewer Sue Nichols wrote that Mr. Budavicius and his cast made the play too melodramatic is arguable. Just how much theatrical embellishment the original story has received during its growth is uncertain. And what possessed Mr. Budavicius to allow the hangman to wear a striped T-shirt and oxyacetylene goggles, I can't imagine. But she also wrote that the production was a tale of human barbarity presented in a novel and intriguing manner and worth seeing. Certainly it must have provided a bracing night out. On This Day is produced at ArtSound FM. If you'd like to listen back to earlier episodes, they're available online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab. On this day, October 16, this is some of what happened in the artistic and cultural life of the ACT region. On this day in 1960, the Italo Australian Club presented at Albert Hall a group of leading Italian performers, foremost among them Nilla Pizzi, Queen of Song, then at the height of her fame. She had won the first San Remo Festival in 1951 with Grazia di Fiori, and again the next year with Vola Colomba. During the Mussolini years, she had been barred from radio for being too sensual, too exotic, too modern. Her warm delivery of both humorous and sentimental songs brought out a large audience of Canberra's Italian community. Also on the bill was Grazia Fiore, a soprano renowned on Italian radio and TV, Rino Salviati, a celebrated guitarist, pianist Julian Pomerantz, and versatile compere Sante Simeoni, who had the audience roaring with laughter as he sang played the guitar, told stories and clowned.
Tanti fiori in questo giorno lieto ricevuti, rose, rose, ma le più belle le hai mandate tu.
On this day in 1970, experimental filmmakers Arthur Cantrell, who was finishing up a stint as Creative Arts Fellow at the ANU, and his wife Karina were seeking to extend the boundaries of cinema at an event that they dubbed a pre-exam mind-clearing, if not blowing, experience. The program at the Childress Street Hall included experiments in transformation and destruction of the film screen by painting, cutting, and replacement with other materials, gauzes, foil, etc., as well as projection onto a fountain of water. The Cantrells made many films and exhibited them around the world as leading Australian independent filmmakers. On This Day is produced at ArtSound FM. If you'd like to listen back to earlier episodes, they're available online at artsound.fm under the Programs tab.